Jordan, this is Mr. Hunch George. Today, my title is God's Creation. And you can turn to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. Hope everybody didn't get too baked this past week being in the oven. You know, I was thinking, you know, it's amazing because how hot and humid and all that was. It's like hell would be a million times worse. And not just because of the heat, but because the absence of God's presence. I would not want to go through that. So, Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Says, in the beginning, God created by forming from nothing the heavens and the earth. You know, I heard somebody say that if you can't believe that first verse, you're going to have pretty much difficulty believing any other verse in the Bible. So, verse 2, the earth was formless and void, or waste and emptiness, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, primeval ocean that covered the unformed earth. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, pleasing, useful, and he affirmed and sustained it. And God separated the light, distinguishing it from the darkness. I like how the Amplified brings out distinguishing it from the darkness, you know. Obviously, that's the way Christians should be. You know, we should be distinguishable from sinners, you know, the light that's in us. So it's amazing how God's creation sort of points. You know, you look at God's creation, it sort of shows you the way Christians should be. All right, verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day. And God said, let there be an expanse of the sky in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters below the expanse from the waters above the expanse. And God made the expanse of sky and separated the waters, which were under the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so, just as he commanded. God called the expanse of sky heaven, and there was evening and there was morning a second day. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place of standing, pooling together, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good, pleasing, useful, and he affirmed and sustained it. So God said, let the earth sprout tender vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit according to, limited to, consistent with their kind, whose seed is in them upon the earth. And it was so. You know, that's so important that God's the one that establishes seed bearing fruit after its own kind. And yet, what does the devil want to do? He tries to come in and, you know, wants to change things, you know, just like when you got men or women who are trying to change their identity, you know, that's going against what God set up. God set up, if there's a seed, it produces after its own kind, you know. I know it's obvious. It's just like, you know, an apple tree is not going to bear oranges because God did not set that up that way. He set up an apple tree is going to bear apples. So it's always important to keep that in mind because, you know, whenever you see somebody trying to change something one way that's, you know, going against nature, then you know it's going against what God set up. All right, verse 12, the earth sprouted and abundantly produced vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them according to their kind. And God saw that it was good, and he affirmed and sustained it. You know, and that's amazing because it's fruit. It says, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them. So it kind of makes me even think about, like, you know somebody by their fruits, you know somebody they'll love. Well, when somebody produces fruit, that fruit continues on and produces other fruit, you know, And God said it was abundantly produced. So it's like, you know, one fruit has maybe one seed or more seeds in it that produces even more fruit. So it's like, that's kind of the way God works, you know. He'll plant a seed, but then that seed won't just produce one other seed, you know, or one fruit. It will continue to produce. And that's just the way God works, you know. That's the way his word works. And so verse 13, and there was evening and there was morning, a third day. Then God said, let there be light bearers, sun, moon, stars, and the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be useful for signs of God's provident care and for marking seasons, days, and years. And let them be useful as lights in the expanse of the heavens to provide light on the earth. And it was so, just as he commanded. God made the two great lights, the greater light, the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. He made the galaxies of stars also, that is, all the amazing wonders in the heavens. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to provide light upon the earth, to rule over the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and he affirmed and sustained it. You know, it's amazing because here again, the sun and the moon are perfect examples of what the Christian should be. So think about it like the sun is a Jesus, you know? And what does the moon do? The moon doesn't produce its own light. It reflects the sunlight back to the earth. And so we have to be like moon, you know? We let the sun, you know, the sunlight, like Jesus, he's in us, and then we let that shine through us, you know, reflecting it out to the world, which what does it do? It sheds light on the darkness, which is exactly what the moon does, you know. You can go, especially on a full moon, you know, a full moon, you can walk outside, and there's, if there's not a cloud in the sky in a full moon, it, you know, lights up everything. And that's what we got to do. We got to allow, we got to be like moons to let Jesus reflect back on us to shine, you know, on the darkness of the world. So I just think it's cool how it's like God's creation just shows you, you know, the way you should live, you know. All right, verse 19. And there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. Then God said, let the waters swarm and abundantly produce living creatures, and let birds soar above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and he affirmed and sustained it. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to, limited to, consistent with their kind, livestock, crawling things, and wild animals of the earth, according to their kinds. And it was so, because he had spoken them into creation. So God made the wild animals of the earth according to their kind, and the cattle according to their kind, and everything that creeps and crawls on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, pleasing, useful, and he affirmed and sustained it. Then God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image, according to our likeness, not physical, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness. And let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, granting them certain authority, and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subjugate it, putting it under your power, and rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God said, behold, I have given you every plant-yielding seed that is on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree which has fruit-yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to all the animals on the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that moves on the ground, to everything in which there was the breath of life. I have given every green plant for food, and it was so, because he commanded it. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and he validated it completely. And there was evening, and there was morning, a sixth day. You know, it's amazing because I was thinking about this. You know, I know today, you know, it's not like, you know, in the Old Testament, it always talks about, you know, men would create gods and stuff out of whatever, wood, stone, you know, gold. And it's amazing how you think about that, how foolish that seems. Like, God created what they're using to create gods, you know. So, and of course, they're inanimate objects, you know, they're not really gods. We know that. But it's just amazing how everything, you know, God created everything, you know. You know, his whole creation points to him, you know. That's why I know, I believe in Psalms it talks about that, you know. Even if you, you know, you see the stars in the heavens, you know, the trees, the grass, the flowers, the plants, the sky, the sun, the moon, you know, everything points to a creator. And it's just amazing, you know. That's why it's like, it seems it's foolish, you know, according, you know, as Christians, you know, evolution and stuff. To me, it takes more faith to think that you came from nothing, you know, monkeys and so, rather than to believe in a creator, you know. All right, I'm going to go into Genesis here and read these next few verses. So Genesis 2. So the heavens and the earth were completed, and all the host inhabitants. And by the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested, ceased on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it as his own, that is, set it apart as holy from other days, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and done. And so God rests on the seventh day after all his work. And, you know, of course, he set up the Sabbath and everything. It's so important to rest. But of course, you know, you don't just rest physically. That's very important, of course, because you can overdo yourself. But it's like when you're resting, it's giving God glory. You know, he sanctified it for him. So it's like when you're resting, you can focus on God, you know, get your mind off all of everything else. And you just sit there and focus on God. And just like that song today, talking about being refreshed, you know, it's like when you can take time alone with God and just kind of let him refresh you, you know, just think on him. Or just like what Aunt Jessie was talking about this morning and with her testimony about, you know, not being worried about, you know, what she's going through, but just focus on God, meditate on God. And it's amazing how when you can do that, it kind of like, you know, your problems kind of just melt away. And I know it can be difficult sometimes, you know, but that's why it's important to do that. So that's all that I have today. Just wanted to bring this out, you know, God's creation. And just thinking about that too, about being, you know, we got to be like moonlight. We got to be able to reflect Jesus back to the darkness of the world, you know. So, you know, the people on the earth that live in darkness, you know, we reflect Jesus's light to them. So anyways, that is it.
Amen. That was really good. I love hearing about creation. Seems like so many people don't preach on creation as much as, or even just talk about creation, you know, as much as they used to. It's like, it's almost like it's a subject that people want to avoid because it can bring up other subjects. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so guess what I'm doing today? I am continuing on my series, Battling the Darkness. So I'm going to go over this again, and I'm going to keep doing this every week because, you know, just as like teachers in school, they repeat things so that we get it stuck in our heads, you know. So the first sermon was battle position. So you need to know who you are in Christ. If you don't know that, you don't even know where you are in the fight. You can be anywhere in this world and just wandering around and not know who you are. Amen. You need to know. The second one is know what you're up against. You know, if you don't know, the enemy walks around like as he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if you know anything about that, a roaring lion is just an old lion that has no teeth. All he can do is roar. He can't really attack you. You know, it's like a kitty cat, really. It's just nothing. He can do anything to you. He's old and decrepit. Okay. And then the third one was the promise of the Father. And that is being filled with the Holy Spirit. There is an awesome power that comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit and you pray in tongues, what happens is the power of God that's inside of you comes out. And you can use that, and it's an awesome gift. So if you don't have the gift of tongues, I pray that you desire that, because you will see something awesome happen in your life when you start praying in the Spirit. Amen? Yes. And so today, I want to talk about exposing deception. And I had like this really, really long title, but I put it down to that. So originally my title was Exposing Deception, Recognizing What Is From God and Not From God with the Power of Discernment and Knowledge of His Word. So I decided I'm going to shorten that a little bit and I'll expound the rest. So Corrie Ten Boom, anybody know who that is? She was a Holocaust survivor and just amazing woman of God. She got saved and was served God even in the Holocaust. It was just amazing. She once said, "The discernment gift is increasingly essential as we come closer to Christ's return." And so that's kind of what I'm going to minister on today. So turn to Matthew 24. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Matthew 24, I'm going to just hop around in this, okay? So start at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And then skip down to verse 11. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." See the pattern here? And then drop down to verse 23. "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So what Jesus, you know, he's basically talking about everything that's going to happen in the end times. Like he talks about wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation. But the biggest thing is he always says, take heed for deception. Because that's what's going to be the most important thing that we have to watch out for. You know, we can see with our eyes, we can see all of these physical things happening. If you read Matthew 24, you can see these things happening all around the world. But what you can't see is deception of the enemy if you don't have discernment from the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay, so I want everyone to do me a favor. Close your eyes. Everyone, close your eyes. Can you tell that the light is on in the room? Okay, now open your eyes. Now, if you close your eyes at nighttime, you know that there's darkness, right? Because you can feel light. When you close your eyes, this is kind of how it is in the spirit realm. In the spirit realm, if your eyes are blinded, you can still sense that there is light around you. So if a Christian walks in the room, you can sense that light that's in them, even if your eyes are blinded to the truth. Even if. Okay, so the reason why I'm bringing that out is because the spirit of discernment, when you are discerning things, it's going to be that quick. Just like you're opening and closing your eyes. It's the same exact thing. That's why all throughout the Bible, you hear Paul and Peter, they talk about how quick it is, you know, just pray that their eyes stop being blinded, because that's how quick it is. When you open your eyes, it's a sudden truth revealed to you what light is. Amen? Okay, so turn to 1 John chapter 4. And this is basically, it's John talking, but it's Jesus revealing to us that we need not be deceived. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to get there. I'm going to start at verse 1. Oh, no, I'm not. I think I am. Yes, I am. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And in the Amplified, it says, test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. And see how important it is? I'm going to pause right there. If you do not know Jesus, then you can't know, or you can't test anything else. Any other spirits that are in this world, anything that's going on in your life, if you don't know Jesus, you have nothing to compare it to. Amen? So every spirit, verse 2, that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So that's how simple it is. Light and darkness, truth and lies. Amen. And then go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 5. I have a lot of scripture, so bear with me. And I just have one verse out of here. I'm going to, verse 14, but strong meat, and basically this is talking about spiritually mature believers. So your eyes are already opened. If your eyes are opened and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, then you are becoming spiritually mature. Amen. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that reason of use, it means have their senses exercised. It means you're trained by practice to discern both good and evil. So you know, because you have seen, okay, I know this is evil and I know this is good. And so when you're spiritually mature, you're not going to go back to those things that you know are evil. Amen? You know the difference between light and darkness. Okay, and then 1 John 2:27. Does anybody have an NIV on them? Hun, can you look up 1 John 2:27 in the New Amplified Version and read it off your phone? I would give you a mic, but you're way back there. In the King James, it says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And then when he reads the new international version. If he does, we're getting there. Sometimes our service on our phones in here is a little interesting. Did I tell you 227?
Yes.
Okay. Here he comes. Thanks. I like giving him little tasks because he's so helpful. I should have brought my electronic. So Carter Conlin, he said at the conference, he said, okay, everybody, if you don't have your Bible, pull up your phony Bibles. Okay, 1 John 2:27 says, as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And so basically what that is discernment from the Holy Spirit comes from the Holy Spirit. Okay, so you can't like think, you know, well, I can see things with my own mind and I can see into the spirit realm and I understand what's going on. If the Holy Spirit does not reveal things to you, you're going to miss some really key important things that could affect your whole life. You know, if you think, well, I can handle this and I know what I'm going to do, and you just walk into it with your own strength and your own power, and you don't walk into it with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and with the discernment of the Holy Spirit, then what's going to happen is, see, the devil, he does things in such a deceptive manner that he makes good look evil and he makes evil look good. So you can think you're going in the right direction because the devil has deceived you into going that direction. But the Holy Spirit is like continually shining a light and continually like, no, see the light? Can't you see the light? You're not going in the right direction. Don't go into that darkness, you know? And so if you don't listen to that and you don't discern what the Holy Spirit is saying, then what happens is you become more vulnerable to attacks of the enemy and to receiving false doctrine and false teachers. So pretty much, you know, like some people, they get saved and they go into these, you know, you ever hear about someone going to a funny cult and they start doing all these weird things and you're like, how did they even get to that point? Like how did they even get there? It's because what happens is they're not listening to the Holy Spirit. And if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit and you're not listening to what he's telling you, then you're going to listen to the wrong voice and you're going to be attracted to something that you can't really understand. You don't really understand. So you think, well, this person understands it more than I do. So clearly they must be from God. And then you find out, no, they're not. They're not really from God. So be careful what you hear, because even in these end times, more and more people are going to get deceived more and more. And they're going to start speaking things, you know, like, well, Jesus Christ, he's moving over here. Jesus Christ, he's moving over here. You know, it's just like Jesus said, you know, like if they say he's in the desert, don't go there. If they say I'm in here, don't go there, because that's not me. If you know that God is moving somewhere, you'll know, and people won't even have to tell you. You'll know by the Spirit of God, and you'll want to be in that place. But if you're just, you know, like so many people, they want to go here and there and here and there and here and there, and they don't even want to, right where they're at, in their own homes, they don't want to seek the Lord. In their own homes, they think, well, you know, I don't feel the presence of God here, so the presence of God must not be here. I have to go clear over across the country to feel the presence of God. No, you don't. The presence of God is right there with you. If you will just trust in him and seek him, you'll experience some awesome things. Amen? Okay, let's go on. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Thank you, Father. I'm going to start at verse 14. Actually, I'm going to start at 13. For such are, this is 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And this is extremely, extremely important, because if Satan himself can masquerade as an angel of light, then how do you discern between false light and true light, the light of God? You only discern it by the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then what's going to happen is Satan will masquerade himself to you, and he'll make you think that, well, this is good, but it's evil. This is truth, but it's actually a lie. Because if he can put light around something that's actually darkness, and he can hide his darkness, then you'll fall for it. But if you have the light of God in you, then you'll actually see through his false light and see the darkness that he's hiding. Amen? Okay, and then I'm just going to read a couple things and we'll go on to Hebrews again. So as this great awakening is falling upon the earth, we need to be leery of deception of the enemy. He will use anything to get God's people to look at anything else but God. He will use anything, anything. He will even use good things, things that you think are good. He'll use anything to get you to look at that instead of look at God. Amen? And so you have got to have discernment. Amen? And then without discernment, we can be hindered in ministering healing and freedom to those who are stuck in bondage to demonic oppression, and miss opportunities to boldly move forward with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need discernment. We need to know what direction God wants us to go. Because if we're, you know, like, it's easy to look at our church and be like, well, we're just this little church and we're not making much difference. And we could dwell on that, but we don't dwell on that. We dwell on what God has created us to be here. Each one of us, we're here for a reason. Each one of us. And if God has put us here for a reason, then we need to listen to his Holy Spirit and follow that purpose through. Amen? It would be so easy. It would be so easy for any of us to get distracted and be like, well, God's moving over here in this church, you know, and God's moving over here in that church, and I'd rather go here or there. And that's fine if God is calling you here or there. But if God is calling you here to this ministry, then only the Holy Spirit can do that. If the Holy Spirit wants you to be here, it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what Michael says. It doesn't matter what any of us say to you. If you know you're supposed to be here, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Amen? And that is light of the word. Okay, so discernment can come to you in different ways. One of the ways that I discern things is by my feelings, which I know we're all like, well, we shouldn't go by our feelings, but the Holy Spirit does go by feelings sometimes. So one way is like, I'll feel like at peace and like things are going right. And I know that's the leading of the Holy Spirit, because it says in a word, the peace of God will rule your hearts. And if I ever feel like there's something wrong, then I'll get like an uneasy feeling on the inside of me. And that is the Holy Spirit's warning to you. And I learned this from Aunt Jessie many, many, many years ago when I was a little kid. And we would go witnessing and she would say, if you feel sick right here, then there's something wrong. And you don't go to that house and you don't go door to door. avoid that house. And you'll know when you go to the next house and that feeling will leave and you know that's the Holy Spirit. And she used to say it's a check in your heart. And that's what it is. Because the Holy Spirit will, what he does is it's almost like he has to hold you for a second. And that's what a check is. It's like he's holding you. Wait, don't go there. Don't do this. Don't follow that person. Don't listen to that voice. Wait, and go this direction. And if you ignore that, and I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but when you ignore the Holy Spirit, it's almost like that waiting gets tighter and tighter and tighter. And on the inside, you know there's something seriously wrong. And sometimes I'm like, I'll get that feeling, and I'm just at home, and nothing is happening. I'm just at home, and I'll get that feeling. And what it is the Holy Spirit is telling me that I need to pray because somebody is going in the wrong direction. Somebody is walking in darkness. And so I listen to that voice of the Holy Spirit, and I generally, sometimes I don't, but in most of the time, I stop what I'm doing, and I just pray. And I just ask God, what is going on? What do I need to pray for? And sometimes he'll tell me and sometimes he won't. And if he doesn't tell me, I pray in the Spirit. Because I may not have any words to say for whatever is going on in someone's life, but God does. And when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying his perfect will on earth for someone's life and for yourself. You know, you could be... I love how this example of you could be praying in the Spirit for the future for someone who is going to be going through something and you don't even know. You could be going through something in the future that you don't even know about. And if you pray in the Spirit, you could be preparing yourself for whatever that is. Amen? We need that gift in our lives. Okay, so in Timothy, it talks about we need to... study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And discernment, what it is, it's like weighing what is right and what is wrong and measuring everything according to the standard of the scripture. So if the scripture, if it says something in the word, then what you do is you weigh in the balance. You know, like if you don't have a feeling, good or bad, and you're just not sure what to do, go to the scripture. Because in the scripture is where everything is weighed and everything is taken care of. Amen? So turn to Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll show you, most of you know this verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So, if you shorten that, for the word of God is a discerner. It's a discerner. So, if you take this word and you use it as a standard for everything in your life, this is like a free discernment, okay? If you don't have any discernment, read the word. It's like a free book of discernment just for you, amen? Okay, so let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs is, I love reading Proverbs, especially in the New Living Translation. If you don't have any wisdom in your life, or you think you know it all, and you need to know some more, trust me, I have, every time I read Proverbs in the New Living Translation, I'm like, wow, that is amazing. I didn't know that. You know, it's just awesome. Okay, Proverbs chapter 4, I'm going to read 8, or I'm going to start at 18. "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Isn't that powerful? I mean, just thinking about the closer and closer you draw to the Lord, the closer you get to Him, and the more that you know Jesus, everything becomes clearer. Everything starts to make sense. You start to see things and you're like, wow, God, that's what you were telling me. And now I understand it. Thank you. After these 20 years, I finally got it. You know, it's like, God, but God, when you draw close to Him, what's happening is it's like when you use a flashlight, you know, and if say Miss Shirley has a flashlight and she's over there and she's shining something, she's shining the flashlight over there, but I'm way over here and it's dark. Even though she's shining the light, if I'm way over there, I may not actually see what she's shining the light on. But the closer that I get to her, the closer I see, oh, that's what she's showing me. And that's what God is like with us. The closer we get to Him, the closer we get to His presence, the more He shines the light on things that we need to see. Amen. Okay. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I just have a little bit out of that. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'm going to read a little bit more. I'm going to start at verse 10. But God hath revealed them. This is 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So see, it's not our intellectual abilities. You know, we can think we're smart and we understand things, but even in a person that's the highest intellectual being, without the Spirit of God, everything is hidden. Amen? Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And the reason why the natural man doesn't receive it is because he can't see it. You know, like, just like Miss Shirley, she's shining the flashlight on whatever it is that I need to see. But if I'm way over here and I'm living in the natural and I'm living in the darkness, even though that thing that she's shining the light on could be good for me and it would bring me blessings and I would benefit from it, I don't actually see what it is. I know there's a light there and I know there's a light shining on it, but because I'm living in darkness, I only see it from a distance and it's just hidden from me. Amen. Okay, so going on. For they are foolishness unto him. See, it's foolishness. Like you, it's like, wow, you know, I don't even understand it. I can't even see what it is. I mean, it could be something good, but to me, it's like, it's just like foolishness. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen? And then turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And isn't that amazing? You know, in Romans 12:2, it talks about we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, and that is by the word of God. You know, and how we just read in Hebrews 4:12 how the word of God is a discerner of the hearts. Amen. So it says, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So what you're doing when you're filled with the Spirit of God and you accept Jesus as your Savior, what you're doing, it's like you're taking off the cloak of darkness and you're becoming and you're putting on light. Amen. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And I'm going to stop right there. You know, sometimes I think that when most Christians is they don't realize that they're even giving place to the devil, because he's so deceptive in everything that he does. And he just makes people think that they're doing this good thing and they're all right. Or he'll make you feel like if you're doing right, he'll make you feel like you're doing wrong. And so he'll make you feel like, well, you're not really going in the right direction. You're not really doing what God wants you to do for your life. You're not really doing this and you're not really doing that. So it's like he will do anything. He'll do anything to get you off course, one way or the other. Amen. So if your heart is close to the Lord, then you'll discern that's a lie of the enemy. I don't care what you're saying, devil, that's a lie of the enemy. Because what God has shown me, I'm going to believe it. It's truth. Amen. Okay. And then you don't have to turn there. We just write this down. In John 7:24, Jesus talks about how we cannot judge by outward appearance. And what he says is like, this is really interesting. So Jesus heals somebody on the Sabbath. And of course, the Pharisees and Sadducees are like, well, why are you doing that on the Sabbath? You know, you're not supposed to do anything. And what he says is like, well, you circumcise babies on the Sabbath, and that's following God's law. How come I can't make someone whole on the Sabbath? And basically what he tells them, you don't judge by outward appearance. Now, just think about that. God is telling them not to judge him. I mean, isn't that amazing? Jesus is like, you don't judge me by outward appearance. Just because you think that you're following the law, you need to listen to what God is really saying. Amen. I just thought that was really powerful. And then you can just write this down. Matthew 10:16, Jesus said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Amen. So you have to love people, but at the same time, you have to discern exactly what you're to say to that person. Amen. Love and discern. And then turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And then after you get there, I'm going to have you just write this down. And then you can read it later. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3. And then write down 1 Kings 3, 4 through 14. Or you can read 1 Kings 3. Okay? And it's about King Solomon. And I'll get to that after we read Proverbs 3, 21. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid, Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of thy hand to do it. And I'm going to stop right there. Okay, so you need wisdom and discretion. You need this. And the reason why I had you write down 1 Kings is because this is when Solomon was he had just been made king, and he's just a young man. And he's basically like, I'm not sure how I'm going to do this. Like his older brothers, like Absalom, and you know this whole story of Absalom, he thought they were going to be the ones who were going to be king. And he's just a fun little prince, he's just enjoying his princey life, and suddenly, by the way, you're becoming king, it's like, okay, I'm this young man, and what am I going to do? So he seeks the Lord, and God says, what can I do for you? What can I give you? And Solomon asks for wisdom. And I think this is so awesome because, Solomon, what he did was, growing up, he saw everything that happened in his family. He saw every murder, every mistake. When Absalom tried to overthrow his father, he lived through that. So just imagine, he's seeing all this thing. So instead of normally if God would ask you, what do you want? You'd want like riches and honor and favor. And instead Solomon's like, I need wisdom. There is this great people out there and I can't do anything without your wisdom, God. And so God gives it to him. And so if you just write down James chapter 1:5, it says, ask for wisdom. There is nothing that God will hold back from you when you ask him. Ask him for wisdom. If you need wisdom on something, if you need to know what is the next step for your life, or should you be doing this, or should you be doing that, God will give you the wisdom that you need. And what he does is he doesn't do it. God does not put you in condemnation when you love him. He'll convict you so that you'll turn your heart to him. The devil puts people in condemnation. And so you can discern between, okay, is God doing this to me so that I will change? Or is it something that the devil is doing to me to make me feel like I haven't been changed? Amen? You have to discern between the both of those. Okay, so, and then you can just write this down. Proverbs 3:13, it says, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. Amen. True joy and true fulfillment of life comes when you're seeking the Lord and the wisdom of God is flowing in your life. When you're listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying, there is a true joy and peace and happiness that people can see that's in you wherever you go, because it just flows out of you. Amen? And I'm just going to read this last thing, and then I'm going to close. So more than anything, our futures depend on our knowledge of the Word of God. We need to know who we are in Christ. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and we need to walk in the anointing and purpose that God has called each one of us to do. You know what makes Christianity different from all other religions is prophecy. When Christians and prophets have prophesied things and they have come to pass, they're all in here. And if you take, actually, I was reading this, was watching this movie documentary, and they talked about 75% of the Bible is prophecy. 75%. That's 3/4 of our Bible. So if you would take out 75% of our Bible, it would just be a nice little history book, just like all the other religions. The Muslims have the Quran. Confucianists, they have their own little Proverbs book. And all of it can sound good. If you've ever heard any kind of Proverbs from other places, in Turkey they have their own Proverbs. everything can sound good because it's common sense, but in essence, all wisdom came from God. You know, and so without prophecy, that's the power of God working, then wisdom is not as powerful. It's not as powerful. You need to hear and listen to every part that God says. When God is warning about something, when God is saying you need to do this and you need to do that, that is supernatural wisdom. That's not the wisdom that men have. It's a preparing for things to come. And more and more, as we get to the end time, as we are living in the end times, and we approach the day that Jesus will return, we need to be ready for that. You know, like, it's not so much like, you know, back in the day, people would be like, well, the rapture could happen tomorrow, you know, and you could go to heaven tomorrow, you know, and it was like, well, if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven tomorrow. Well, is your heart right? And so a lot of people lived on that and the fear of it instead of looking forward to when Jesus does come back. And we can't live on fear. We have to live by faith. And this is just me, but I feel like when Jesus returns, it's more like, and I can already feel it, you know, like you just know that there is something about to happen. Yeah. And to me, I kind of imagine like when you're pregnant and you have a baby, you know, like when I had Mandy, I couldn't see her. She was in me, but I was expecting something great. I was expecting that. And that's how I feel with Jesus coming back. Like, I feel like I'm expecting something great, and I'm expecting his return. And all I want to do, just like when we had Mandy, you just want to tell people, I'm having a baby, you know, you're just like so excited. Well, that's how I like want to tell people about Jesus. Like, Jesus is coming back, but Jesus loves you and he cares about you. And that's the expectancy. They need to feel that. You know, if you don't feel that, and you're not expecting Jesus to come, if he's not in your life, then you're not expecting anything because you don't even know what to expect. But if he is in your life, then you are expecting great, and other people will feel that joy and that peace and that promise in your life. Amen? Okay, that's all I have today. So I just want to encourage you, you know, if you take time to read 1 Kings, you know, we're all kings and priests. Jesus has made us all kings and priests. And we need to know we live in the kingdom of God. And we need to know what we're ruling. We need to know how to walk as kings and priests. Amen. Each one of us do. We have our own little houses that we rule over, or we think we rule over. In our cities, and our country, you know, like the only way that we can impact this nation is if we truly are walking with the light of God flowing through our lives. You know, if we're walking in darkness like everyone else, then we're not going to make any impact, because darkness cannot impact darkness. Only light can. Amen. You can go ahead and stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that your light shines on, in, and through each one of us. Lord, we receive you in every part of our lives. Holy Spirit, come and fill us up to overflowing, to reach out to those who are lost. Thank you for growing us spiritually so that we can shine light on what people need to see in Jesus' name, in their lives and in our lives. In Jesus' name, we thank you for healing all those who are sick, God. We thank you, Lord, for strengthening the weak. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. Amen.